Let us pray together. Our Father, we would pause and remember our pastor as he journeys to celebrate his birthday. We would remember those whose hearts are heavy on this Lord's Day. We pray for those who have fresh grief and sorrow in their lives. Touch them, comfort them, help them in the loss of a loved one. And Father, we pray for those who are struggling with illness, with perhaps the end near, that thou will comfort and keep them. We pray for the families and their anxieties and cares, that thou will be with each of them. We pray for thy church, that all people who call upon thee may experience thy presence this Lord's Day. We pray thou will guide this church into its future, that it may be as it has been, a place where thy name is honored and people are helped. Our Father, use us in the proclamation of the Word of God, for in thy name do we pray. Amen. I want to read from Isaiah 30. This particular passage is representative of many such passages in Isaiah. Reading first from the first two verses. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who carry out a plan, but not mine, and who make a league, but not by my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who go down to Egypt without asking for my counsel, to take refuge in the protection of the Pharaoh and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. And then reading from verses 7 through 15. Egypt's help is worthless and empty. Therefore I have called her Rahab, who sits still. And now go write it before them on a tablet and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come as a witness forever. For they are a rebellious people, lying sons, sons who will not hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, see not, and who say to the prophets, prophesy not to us of what is right. Speak to us of smooth things. Prophesy illusions. Leave the way, turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a break in a high wall bulging out and about to collapse, whose crash comes suddenly in an instant. And it will be like the breaking of a potter's vessel, which is smashed so ruthlessly that among its fragments not a sherd is found with which one can take fire from the hearth, or to dip up water out of a cistern. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength, and you would not. And then the 18th verse, therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you. Therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord God is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. During the Christmas season, I heard again, as we do every season, of the program called Lessons and carols. A part of the lessons from Scripture is the 9th chapter of Isaiah, in which there is promised a coming reign of peace and well-being. And it closes with the promise that the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This promise seems contrary to the very spirit of our age, for we have a program for everything. We have an agenda. Someone is always telling you how to have a revival, how to grow the church, and a series of steps that you are to take, and that it is up to you to do these things. We don't want to wait like the first apostles at Pentecost until we are clothed with power from on high. Somehow deep within, not publicly expressed, but still deep within, we don't believe God will do anything, or perhaps that He can do anything. We think somehow it all depends on us. To use a political slogan, I think it's more a mantra of the American people than a political slogan. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Let us turn now and see what Isaiah says about all these things. The prophecies of Isaiah were by several prophets over a span of 2 centuries. They were spoken to different hearers and to different situations. Other than being under the name, the one name of Isaiah, the one thing which unites them is the theme, trust in the Lord and wait for His guidance, wait for His presence. First, I want to talk about crisis and response as found in Isaiah. The crisis is the failure of the king's leadership. And so the prophecy is concerning, unto us a child is born, there will come a king who will be fair. And it tells us in conclusion that this will come by the zeal of the Lord of hosts. God's will do it through us and with us. But throughout history, particularly in the New Testament age, there were many messianic plots and schemes that ultimately destroyed the Old Testament religion, replaced it by something almost very different. Because they were going to do it their way. There would be rebel after rebel, effort after effort, that they were going to bring about the golden age. That hadn't ever stopped. We read in history of all kinds of schemes to bring about the millennium for Christians, to what has to be done before the end can come or Christ will come back. Such efforts mislead us as to our Christian task and Christian witness. And there is another thing about all the schemes to bring about the golden age. Those who set out to create a heaven on earth most often create instead a new kind of hell. Think with me in our own lifetime, or the lifetime of those my age. In the 30s, Stalin was going to bring about the classless society. Everything for everyone in Stalin and Lenin's Russia. Instead, there was the murder of countless millions of people and the collapse, starvation of society itself. Think of the Nazis in Germany. The Third Reich means the Third Kingdom that will last 1,000 years like the Roman Empire did and like the Holy Roman Empire did. They're going to establish a new ideal age. And they result in the death, persecution of millions upon millions of people, and then in the horrors of war. Or you can bring it down to the personal level. There is David Koresh in Waco with his heaven-like compound, as he views it, with all of the abuse of children and families, and ending in fiery destruction. Or Warren Jeffs in Utah, with the same results, destruction to people. You know, we never seem to learn. The word utopia is used by Adam Smith is actually a Latin negation of the word place. It says there isn't any such place on earth. So looking at this in Isaiah, he said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts must bring about the change. We have in Isaiah the word to the king Ahaz. Ahaz feels threatened by the two northern kingdoms of Israel and Syria, or Aram. And so he takes the temple treasure, all the money he can get his hands on, and carts it off to Assyria and wants to pay them to protect him from his two northern neighbors. The prophet Isaiah warns or tells him that this will fail, that you don't need to, that if you'll just wait, that a child born before he reaches adolescence, the end of those northern kingdoms will come. But he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen. In the passage that I read in Isaiah 30, the situation has changed. Now they feel the threat of Assyria, which of course Isaiah had warned them of. So they're gathering up their treasure and carting it off to Egypt to try to hire the Egyptians to protect them from the Assyrians. And the prophet says, Egyptians' help is worthless. Rahab was the great twisting serpent, and he said, and it was often used as a symbol for Egypt, and he said, it's Rahab that sits still, that does nothing. In Isaiah 40, the situation there is of a changing world, and the message is still the same. They that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But they that wait for the Lord, who depend upon Him. In Isaiah 65, we have these words as a word of God. God speaking, I was ready to be sought by people who didn't seek me. Says, all day long I held out my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying or denying people. God stands ready to receive, and they say, we're going to do it our way. You know, as I looked at Isaiah for this sermon, I could have cited many other passages. Isaiah's message seems strange advice in the spirit of our age. The very fiber of our being, we think we can do it all by ourselves. But the same message in Isaiah is found throughout the Old Testament. In Psalms 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. I remember that passage from my days at Furman, when some of the founders of Furman used that to talk about what this university should be. I think how much better our churches and schools might be, if we always remembered, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain who build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes in vain. That same psalm continues, says, it's vain, it's useless that you rise up early to labor and strive and go to bed late. It says, God gives to His beloved sleep. I sometimes say, when the going gets tough, the really tough, spiritually, take a nap. You see, God is in control in this world, even though we think we are. Our text that I read from Isaiah 30 pictures them as in a Humpty Dumpty world. Most of you remember that verse from our childhood scripture of Humpty Dumpty sitting on a wall. And it collapses, and all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put Humpty Dumpty together again. In Isaiah and Jeremiah both, they refer to that rebellion against God that smashes the terracotta pottery to where its pieces are useless. So that's what you've become. Or like a wall that's bulging out. Amos pictures a wall that is set by a plumb line that isn't bulging out. He says it's going to collapse. Wait on the Lord. Sometimes we think that the book of Proverbs only encourages us to labor and work and activism. But in Proverbs 3:5 it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and rely not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Jesus instructs us in the very same way. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves dig through and steal. There's no safety there. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves do not break through and steal. Our Jesus says, be not anxious for tomorrow. The day's evil is sufficient for that day. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. The new Pope Francis has been blasted for saying that wealth is not the sole goal of life. It must be responsible for the care of people. It's not enough to just amass wealth. These words of Jesus or of Pope Paul seem impossible where we think our Social Security income is inadequate, where pensions from businesses fail, where medical debt is unpayable. But the choice, Jesus is saying, still must be made, considering what God has called us to do and to be. Paul in Romans confesses the failure of his ambitions and his personal efforts to achieve outstanding righteousness. Those great confessions in Romans 7, the good that I would do, I do not. The evil I didn't want to do, I still did. Ambition and achievement, religious achievement, had been the goal of his life. He could look back and think how he learned more, thought more, was more active. And then he thought of the commandment, you shall not covet. That he was still just wanting to get ahead of everybody else. Wanting more power, more wealth, more honors above all others. You shall not covet. Then sin revived, he said, and I died. That the grace of God can rescue us from that selfishness, from our jealousy, and from our greed. And that we can depend upon God. It's only the grace of God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We discover, as Paul discovered, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. We don't have to get ahead of everybody else. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and of death. We discover with Paul that there is no condemnation, that we are the children of God, and God is working in all things for good to those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. We discover that in His loving us, He has empowered us to love and to help one another. So here again, that core message of Isaiah, in quietness and trust shall be your strength. They that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Put your trust in Him. Find your peace and joy in Him and through Him. And remember, at the core of it all, God stretching forth His hands all day long, God cares for you. Our closing hymn and our hymn of invitation is hymn number 436. If you would share a decision with the church at this time, you're invited to come as we sing. 436.